Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and duck tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Jambalaya reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly. The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046, 970-482-5046.
Well, Doctor, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And, of course, one of the recurrent themes of our program is that there is an organized effort to transfer the jobs of the American people overseas. And, of course, it's all done under the name of outsourcing so we can bring in all these wonderful new jobs. Well, you can see what a great job they're doing bringing in new jobs. And of course, if you study the issue of free trade and this idea that we're going to take down the tariff barriers, and, oh, yes, of course, a lot of the manufacturing jobs are going to go to other countries, China and Malaysia and certainly Mexico and South America and Africa, but all the wonderful jobs that are coming in, there are about 40 million manufacturing jobs in America. And there's literally none of them that can certainly be maintained here exclusively with a free trade situation, since very obviously the work, the manual labor involved, can be done in other countries. But that doesn't stop the people behind free trade from insisting that this is going to raise the living standards of the average American as he now gets a job in a highly technical electronic industry. And aren't things going to be ever so much better for the American workers as we transfer our jobs overseas? Well, with us this morning is Ian Fletcher. We're going to be talking about his book on free trade, and free trade doesn't work. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How's the weather in Colorado?
Yes, well, why don't you just pick up the story that you're going to be telling us this morning?
Well, my name is Ian Fletcher. I'm an adjunct fellow at the California office of the U.S. Business and Industry Council, which is a Washington-based think tank founded in 1933. I'm also the author of a new book called Free Trade Doesn't Work, which is available on Amazon.com. And as you said, this country's having a great deal of trouble because of free trade, which is an unwise policy, despite the fact that we've been told for two generations now that it has been proven by economics that it is best. In point of fact, it's not only not a good policy, it's not actually America's tradition. You see, a lot of people don't know this, but in point of fact, the United States historically is a protectionist nation. This goes all the way back to the founding fathers, because they understood that if they had free trade with Europe, we would just end up as a banana republic supplying agricultural commodities and raw materials to European industry. That's more or less what happened to the other nations in the New World, which if you look to our south, you always got to remember that every one of those nations started out from nothing, just like we did, and yet only the United States became the industrial superpower of the world. There are some different reasons for that. One of them is, if you've got your wallet on you, I suggest you pull out a $10 bill. The guy on the $10 bill was never president. The only rank he ever held was Treasury Secretary. But the reason he's on a bill as small as a 10 is that Alexander Hamilton was basically the intellectual father of American capitalism. He was the man among the founders who really understood economics, and he told guys like General Washington that if we didn't have a tariff-protected economy, the United States was not going to develop into an industrial country, which, of course, we did. And if you look through American history, many of the other great figures of our history, like Abraham Lincoln, who are better known for other policies, of course, one of their big economic policies was the tariff. Abraham Lincoln was a huge tariff guy. But nowadays, we all hear that it's free trade always, everywhere, all the time, with 100% of the world, that that's supposed to be our best move. Well, it isn't.
Well, it just certainly isn't, and one of them has to look and see what's going on today as more and more of our jobs are being transferred to other countries. And yet, of course, whether we have the Democrats or Republicans in power, it's always free trade, and anybody who speaks against it is immediately derided as being a protectionist. And yet, certainly our founding fathers were protectionists, weren't they?
Yes, that is indeed the truth. In point of fact, the interesting thing I discovered in the course of writing my book, one of the questions that I wanted to answer when I sat down to write it was, when exactly did America decide that protectionism was wrong and that free trade was right? Who was the great economist who supposedly discovered something that revealed this new truth to us? Well, the interesting thing is that there's no such person, because there's no point in American history in which we actually decided that free trade was better. What happened is, after World War II, we embraced free trade as a bribe to the rest of the world to not go communist, and then we rationalized it later. We never discovered that free trade was best, because it isn't best.
In fact, I remember an article I read about an economist named Binder, I think is his name.
Oh, Alan Blinder, sure.
Blinder, and he been writing for years about how wonderful free trade was, and then he was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying one day he woke up and suddenly realized that we could lose 40 million jobs with nothing to replace them, and he even had the audacity to speak out and say that. And yet most people, most economists today, still tout this idea of free trade, and anybody who opposes it is demonized and demeaned and viciously attacked as a protectionist. Well, as you have said when we talked to you earlier, you're a protectionist and proud of it, and anybody who cares about America should be a protectionist.
Sure. It's also true if you care about any of the other countries in the world, you should be a protectionist, because free trade is doing a lot of harm to a lot of countries around the world. Do you know, for example, that Africa is poorer today than it was 40 years ago? The only nations that really make out good under protectionism are the very hard-edged, nasty, mercantilist, dictatorial societies like the Chinese. Anybody else who plays with some semblance of fairness is going to get taken. That includes us, and it includes, more tragically, a lot of the poor countries around the world who've got less to start with.
I loved your story about what happens in South Korea. Now, South Korea cannot actually put up tariff barriers to the importation of American products, because they're dependent upon America keeping their tariffs down, on their products. So how do the South Koreans keep our products out of South Korea?
Well, that's an interesting point you've made. One of the problems here...
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. The music tells us we're going to a break.
Hello? 11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stock, certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses at iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this morning is Ian Fletcher. His book, Free Trade Doesn't Work. And we were just discussing how South Korea, you know, handles the issue of competition. They don't want American products coming in there. They want to bring their products in the United States, but they can't erect a tariff barrier. So what do they do?
Well, the interesting point that you put your finger on here is the fact that in theory, on paper, in the law, what you have between nations is you have tariff barriers. That is, there's a tax, 10%, 30%, or whatever, whenever you bring a car into the United States or Japan or whatever, or there are quotas. You can only import this many thousand Toyotas or whatever. And this is how the law and the policymakers in Washington tend to view things. So when you have foreign countries that have quote-unquote open trade, so in theory you can go there and you can sell American products, they think everything's fine. Now, the reality is a little bit different. For example, you mentioned South Korea. Now, everybody who lives in South Korea knows that if you buy a foreign car, here's what happens to you: a tax audit. That's just the way they do it. There's no law that says so, but it's just kind of understood that that's the way it works. So people buy their Hyundais, and they don't buy Chevys. I mean, there's a reason for that. And there's lots of other tricks. That's just the beginning of it.
And certainly Japan has all sorts of hidden barriers against American products. China has all sorts mm-hmm. of barriers against American products.
Sure.
It's only America that's so gracious that we're willing to throw open our borders and destroy our own industries. And you sort of infer, although you don't actually come right out and say, but you sort of infer that maybe there's some people who seem to embrace this. They have an agenda. But you never get into that, who these people are or why they seem to be so intent upon undermining our the economics of our nation.
Well, if you're asking about conspiracy theory, I don't do conspiracy theory, but I'll tell you, they don't need a conspiracy. I mean, yeah, okay, whatever's going on in secret, maybe it is, but whoever's doing it hasn't told me, so I'm not qualified to comment. But what I can tell you is they don't need a conspiracy to open our economy up and subject us to all these ill effects of being forced to accept foreign goods without the opportunity to export in return.
And certainly it's really having an impact on every aspect of our society, and whether it's growing garlic at Gilroy, close to where I live, or manufacturing cars in Detroit. Certainly both areas are rapidly becoming basket cases, or certainly the Central Valley of California, but that has not to do with tariffs. That has to do with just turning off the water so we can't produce products. But anyway, don't you worry. The products are coming in from other countries. They all got little labels on them. I'm eating plums from Thailand and, apples from China, and they taste fine. Anyway, what is going to happen down the line to the United States if we continue our ill-founded policies?
Well, I'm both pessimistic and optimistic on that question. The pessimistic side is, yes, if we keep doing this forever, eventually we face not quite national bankruptcy, which is a sudden event, which I do not expect, but we do face long-term national decline, which means declining incomes, declining quality of life, and so forth. That definitely happens. Personally, I think that things are going to be turned around before then. I think that the danger signs have become too evident to ignore. And I think that free trade is starting to threaten the profits of the wealthy and the powerful. For example, the bankruptcy of General Motors was a tragedy for the people that worked there, but it also wasn't too profitable for the people who owned that GM stock and those GM bonds that either got wiped out or paid off at a very low percentage. So I think that things are going to be turned around. I believe that this country, over the next 5 to 10 years, is going to be dragged, kicking and screaming, back to economic reality.
But the average American says this is illogical, but that doesn't seem to matter. The establishment that seems to run things behind the scenes seems to, for whatever reason, embrace this idea that we're far better off to send our factories overseas, and they should know this is not going to raise the living standards here in the United States, although it is certainly raising the living standards in China, certainly from being a nation largely of peasants, while China's become an industrial giant in large part to the free trade policies of the United States.
Sure, that much is largely correct, but I also think, and I talk about this in Chapter 12 of my book, Free Trade Doesn't Work, that if you look carefully at the American politics, you can see the signs that enthusiasm for free trade is definitely diminishing. For example, you can't see anything at the level of the presidency. Obama is clearly a free trader, but if you look at seats in the House, seats in the Senate, the number of free traders has been going down for about 6 to 8 years now, and it's relentlessly going down. They can't get any more free trade agreements through. I mean, Obama would like to have a whole slew of free trade agreements. He said so, but he can't find the votes on the floor of Congress to pass them. So I think the tide is gradually turning. I know that's not a lot of help to people who've lost their jobs due to imports or people who are frustrated at the corrupt and stupid thinking that passes for economic policy in this country, but I think that the tide is inexorably turning.
Well, Chris, one reason I enjoyed your book is because you gave all of the reasons for free trade, and then, of course, just cut the legs out from under each one in turn, because the arguments are plain sophistry. In other words, they argue a false point and make it look plausible, but if you stop and analyze it, why, certainly it isn't valid. And certainly, there is no justification for this. They tell us about all these wonderful jobs that are coming in, and they kept insisting, yes, of course, the people who work in the automotive industry are going to lose their jobs, but look at all the new jobs coming in. Could you talk a little bit about all these wonderful new jobs that are coming in?
Sure. We've been told since about 1980 that, yes, we were going to lose manufacturing industry in a lot of areas, but that this was going to be replaced by new jobs in high technology and services. Now, the problem with that is if you actually look at the hard data, you discover, for example, that the entire new economy, so-called, in the United States, that is the dot-coms, the high-tech, you name it, has added zero net new jobs to the U.S. economy in the last 10 years. Zero. Nothing. Our economy has lost the ability, in fact, to create new jobs in internationally traded sectors. All the net new jobs, that is where job gains exceed jobs lost, are in non-traded sectors like security guards, waitresses, and stuff like that. And the problem is that in 99% of the case, those jobs just don't pay very much. They can't pay very much because the value added per hour is limited by the nature of the job. It's as simple as that. So this is a recipe for long-term wage decline in the United States. That's what we're looking at.
And that's what we're seeing today, but most people really don't understand what's going on now. Certainly, you are coming from an economic point of view, and you're one of the few voices that is speaking out against free trade. Almost all of the economists support free trade, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. The last survey that was done of economists, I think it found 93% were in support of free trade. So, yeah, when I sat down to write this book, which is 2 years ago, when it was even less plausible than it is today, I was very, very lonely. The one compensation I do have is I don't have a lot of friends, but some of them are very, very high-level people. I mean, I know one or two guys who are in opposition, one or two economists, that is, who are in opposition to free trade, who might win the Nobel Prize one day. I mean, there are a few brave voices, and some of them are very, very high-level individuals. There are some very distinguished people, former high officials, like Paul Craig Roberts, is a man you may or may not have heard of. He was an assistant treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan, who's come around on this issue, has been speaking out very loudly for a number of years. So I don't have a lot of friends, but they're well-respected men.
Well, Paul Craig Roberts, I consider a friend. We actually have him as a frequent guest on our program whenever we can get him. And I share your admiration for him. I think he's one of the clearest thinking columnists we have, and certainly always a pleasure to have as a guest here at Radio Liberty. Well, our telephone number is, of course, 1-877-254-7524. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, Ian Fletcher. That's 877-254-7524. This is a vitally important subject, and I'm just so glad that we have a good book on this because it has all of the arguments, you know, pro and con. Of course, the con arguments are so convincing and the pro arguments are so shallow. And yet, of course, what usually they do, you know, is rather than argue the issue, why they demonize the person who dares to suggest we need to protect American jobs. They call them protectionists. And then, and from there on, why, it's just a matter of name-calling. After all, if you can't defend your position, why, you attack the people on the other side. And they do that very effectively, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That there's no question that there's a lot of just sheer bullying and flummery that goes on about this. The quickest way I find to shut people up who accuse me of being an idiot because I'm a protectionist, they say, oh, you mean like Abraham Lincoln, right? Lincoln was an idiot. He was a protectionist. And then people start to scratch their heads and go, oh, maybe I'm not so sure I want to call Abraham Lincoln an idiot. And so there you go.
Okay, fine. Well, I think that basically, the book offers just a good, sound defense of logic, which is logic. I mean, if you want to maintain our living standards, you protect our jobs, you protect the manufacturing base of this nation, rather than the organized, orchestrated effort in the present time to transfer the jobs and the manufacturing and the wealth of the American people to foreign nations, which doesn't make sense, and yet that's exactly what is taking place today. And the thing is that almost all the economists are pushing for this, and in the past the politicians have been pushing for this, and the people who hold the highest positions, certainly seem to be going along with this, although Ian points out that there are more and more people in Congress, a growing number of people in the House and the Senate, who are seem to be more concerned with preserving American jobs in America rather than transferring American jobs to China, as we've seen recently, recently, of course, here in the Bay Area, while we're adding a whole parallel span to the Bay Bridge, and because they just need more space for the cars to go back and forth, and those new spans are coming in. They're coming in on ships from China. This magnificent new bridge is simply going all but assembled, and it's being put in place, and it's all been built in China. Created a lot of jobs. They just weren't here in the United States. And this is a recurring theme on so many things that are happening. I was reading about these nuclear plants that President Obama wants to build, and China is going to guarantee the loans so we can put in these nuclear power plants. But the people in the Steelmakers Union are furious because we can't build the containment, compartments, that big dome that they have. Every nuclear plant, the only places that can be built today, according to current law, is Japan and China, because we don't have the facilities to build them. And so Barack Obama is going to create a lot of jobs with that $8 billion we're going to guarantee, but the jobs aren't in the United States. So anyway, Pierce, how are we going to reach the public and get them to think? That we'll get to that subject when we get back here. Our guest, Ian Fletcher, fascinating book, Why Free Trade Doesn't Work.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Even in good times, adoptive parents often face more challenges than other families. When times get tough, these challenges can become overwhelming. But help is at hand for Colorado families that have adopted through the child welfare system. Since 2003, Colorado Post-Adoption Resource Center, COPARC for short, has assisted more than 2,000 families statewide with support, training, information, and financial aid. For each family, there is a story. For the family of two special needs siblings, COPARC means tutoring for their daughter and braces for their son. For the adoptive parents of five, COPARC means needed respite childcare so that they can attend a parenting seminar together. For the single adoptive mother of a son with autism, COPARC means finding the special services she needs to help her son relate to others. A helping hand, a network of support. COPARC is funded by Promoting Safe and Stable Families Program, Colorado Department of Human Services, Division of Child Welfare, and the Adoption Exchange. Visit adopttex.org. Or call 1-800-451-5246.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Ian Fletcher. And before we go on, Ian, I'd like you to go ahead and get your telephone number and or website out and tell people how they can get your book, Why Free Trade Doesn't Work. Now, let me put out our telephone number if people in the audience would like to talk to Ian Fletcher. Our number is 877-254-7524. That's 877-254-7524. This subject is vitally important because it's the very essence of much of what we talk about here. Why would we embrace such an insane policy that has led to the loss already of countless millions of American jobs, and as things progress, even more jobs will be created? And I remember when Barack Obama talks about creating jobs, he doesn't necessarily always say where those jobs are going to be created. After all, we now control, the U.S. government owns 60% of General Motors. And President Obama said we're going to create new jobs, and we are creating new jobs in the automotive industry. The only trouble is that there are new plants opening in China, and while we're closing our distributorships here in the United States, we're opening them in China. And then, of course, we own a considerable portion of Fiat Motors, of Chrysler Motors, which we gave to Fiat. And we are opening new automobile factories, but they're in Mexico and in Italy. So believe me, when Barack Obama says he's going to create jobs, he's telling you the truth. And of course, there's going to be new jobs of building the components of these nuclear plants, but that's in China and in Japan. Well, Ian, how can people get hold of your book? How can they get hold of the information that you have?
Okay, my book is for sale on Amazon.com. The title is Free Trade Doesn't Work, What Should Replace It and Why. If you want to find out about a bit more about the book before you purchase it, it's $8.95. I have a website. It's at www.freetradedoesntwork.com. The main point of reading the book is just to enable ordinary folk to be able to start asking the right questions and challenging people in power. I think you'll find the book is understandable because although these economic subjects have a reputation of being very esoteric and we're not supposed to ask about the man behind the curtain, I think it's time that curtain got pulled back, because what we're doing wrong is wrong for very basic reasons, and they're not hard to understand once you get clear in your mind about what they are.
And, well, give us a few examples. I mean, certainly you do this beautifully in the book, and you take all the arguments in favor of free trade, and you sort of systematically break them down. I thought it was really one of the most interesting parts of the book.
Well, for example, you have the fact that the quote-unquote free trade that we practice now is free trade from the American point of view, but it's not free trade in the other direction, which is a large part of why the United States runs such a huge trade deficit. Foreign nations are more or less permitted with an open door to come to the United States and sell their products. But in the other direction, when we try and sell abroad, there are all sorts of barriers in place to stop this from happening. We talked about South Korea earlier on the program. I'll give you another example, Japan. In Japan, all the major corporations are organized into these kind of families of corporations or conglomerates, and they're called keiretsu in Japan. Now, what this means is that when you have a Japanese department store and you want to, say, sell American clothes or American auto parts in their department store, some American company that goes over there and wants to sell, they can't, because the management of this store chain, the Japanese equivalent of Sears or Walmart or whatever, is going to very politely tell you that we can't buy from you because we have to buy the product made by this company, which is a member of our corporate family. And that's the way we just have to do things here, because we belong to the same corporate organization, and that's what we're required to do. Their whole economy is set up this way on the basis of all these mutual relationships, which basically mean that outsiders are politely told to get lost.
And this has been going on for a long period of time, and our leaders know that. And yet, of course, they've allowed, you know, this to happen, and the Japanese are always going to do something to rectify the situation next year. This has been going on, I can remember this, 30 years ago. I mean, this was so incredible. That's one of the advantages of getting it to be older. You can remember the past. And well, the Japanese are certainly going to take care of that. Yes, it isn't fair. And so one of these days, we're going to get around to making sure we really have free trade instead of this controlled trade, which means that they benefit and we don't. And that's why Japan, until recently, has been number two economy in the world. Right now, of course, it's I think China has taken its place, or is about to take the place of Japan as the second most powerful economy in the world. How do the Chinese keep our things out? After all, we have free trade with China, don't we?
No, not really. They have a lot of things, starting with the simple fact that most of the Chinese are just so very, very poor. They're just not in the market for most American products. I mean, it's easy to make the mistake of thinking that because the Chinese economy is booming in aggregate, that their people must be affluent. They're not. The vast majority of Chinese are still living in a peasant world. It's only about a third of China that is industrializing. About two-thirds of the Chinese people are still living the way their ancestors did 1,000 years ago, growing rice in small villages. The people who are part of the industrialized fringe along the coast, some of them, a small number, maybe 5-10% of the population, are getting up to something like a partly westernized standard of living. But even that, you're talking about a third or a half of what people earn in the United States. But most of these people in these vast cities like Shanghai, they're factory workers. And the average wage for Chinese factory workers is under a dollar an hour, and there's a very important reason for that. The government wants it to stay that way because cheap labor is how they attract industry, and even when people do earn money, the system is rigged to force them to save as much of what little they do earn as possible, because that creates more capital in China that can then be reinvested in more economic growth. Their system is biased towards rapid rates of economic growth, not consumption. So they don't import a lot of American products simply because they're not consuming very much. It's a deliberate policy on their part.
And I thought your analysis of India, you know, we hear about, well, Sydney, all these people over in India, they got over 1 billion people over there, and they have a growing middle class, and that growing middle class are certainly all potential purchasers of American products. And isn't it wonderful what's happening to India? Would you like to address that? Because I really enjoyed what you had to say.
Oh, yeah. You often hear that the rest of the world is catching up to us so fast that we don't have to worry about poor people abroad.
Hold that thought. We'll get to India as soon as we get back. Our number 877-254-7524.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Zabel Construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured. Zabel Construction.
Are you aware that oxidative stress provides a foothold to more than 100 diseases? Discover the only supplement clinically proven to eliminate the age-dependent increase in markers of oxidative stress to that of a 20-year-old. www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com. There is only one product that triggers your body to produce a host of free radical-fighting enzymes. www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com. For your improved health, check out the ABC video at www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Ian Fletcher, is his book, Why Free Trade Doesn't Work, and certainly our telephone number, if you have a question, 877-254-7524. But we were talking about this idea of, isn't it wonderful why China has one and a quarter billion people, and all of those are certainly potential, you know, customers for American products. Well, just look at what we're having with our trade deficit and a massive trade deficit. Why are these people in the other countries buying our products? And another explanation is India. And I really was very interested in what Ian had to say about India. You know, here is a nation of a billion people with a growing middle class, a growing and prosperous middle class, because of free trade, and look at how these markets are opening to America, and this should be great for our exports. So how do you respond to that?
Well, the problem is, you want to talk about these markets are opening, this should be great for our exports. It's not a question of should. It either is or it isn't. What is our trade balance with this country? And it's a deficit. It's not a surplus. It's not even break even. So I have absolutely no interest and do not take seriously and don't think anybody should take seriously when someone says, oh, look, they have a billion potential customers. I don't care what the potential is. Are we running a surplus or not? Are we breaking even or not? It would be nice to run a surplus. I can live with breaking even. But don't just tell me how many hungry mouths there are there. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
And you point out the middle class, family over in India might be somebody making $2,000 or $3,000 a month, and they would be able to have servants and all sorts of things with a salary of a couple of $1,000s a month. That'd be considered quite prosperous in India.
No, it's actually much worse than that. An Indian family with an income of $2,500 a year. The average income in India is well under $1,000 per year. India is a very poor country. So as a result, there are a lot of poor people out there who will work for peanuts. So if you're even a moderately prosperous family by Indian standards, it's very easy to hire somebody to sweep your house or cook your food or something. So, yeah, you're considered middle class in India if you have a family income of about $2,500 to $3,000 a year. The computer science graduates that you hear about taking American jobs, those guys are aristocracy by Indian standards. They make about $5,000 a year, which is a yuppie income over there. And you can buy a house, you can have servants, you can do all these things in India on that kind of money, but that's because it's such a poor country and servants are very cheap. Housing is cheap because land is cheap, because there's not a lot of money to for people to buy land, and because construction workers make virtually nothing. But the reason that that is because things are cheap there. They're not anywhere near the kind of incomes that people earn in the United States.
And so all of these arguments that we hear here in the United States that are used so glibly by the economists are simply sophistry. That ancient technique of arguing a false point to the point where a lot of people will believe it, and yet you're going to have to look at reality. And as we often say, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And America's going down because of free trade, and there is no way we can preserve our standard of living under these circumstances. What can people do to help counter what's going on?
Well, I'd like people to buy my book, but the most important thing you can do is simply to start thinking for yourself. Don't be intimidated by what you see on the TV, what you read in the newspapers, or whatever. Those guys are failing. If those guys who tell you we know what's best are so great, and if what they think is true, why is this country in the mess it's in? Why should we believe the same kind of people who produced the financial debacle that we just saw go by in 2008 and the bankruptcy of the auto industry? Why should we believe them when they tell us that it's okay for us to run a $300 billion a year trade deficit with China? We shouldn't. Don't believe what you are told. Think for yourself. Number two thing is confront those in power. What I suggest that your listeners do is that they find out when the next town meeting of their congressman in their area is, and then go to that town meeting, raise your hand, and ask them what you're going to do about free trade. And if you've got just one fact, I don't care what it is, whatever interests you, maybe it's about some plant in your district that closed, maybe it's about some problem that you have observed with your own eyes, but just one fact, raise your hand and confront them with that fact. That's the best thing you can do. That will get their attention. I talk to members of Congress all the time. The one thing they are most afraid of is the people in their district getting mad at them because they've figured out the truth, and they're prepared to vote against them because they're not satisfied with how they're voting in Congress. That's what you can do.
And I think that is so vitally important. Just the old slogan, remember in November, and I will remember how you voted, and I'll vote for anybody else but you. No song without the words, and that, of course, is the one thing that will strike terror in the hearts of the congressmen who are betraying their constituents. And believe me, that's the majority of them, because they know what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. Well, our guest has been Ian Fletcher, his book, Why Free Trade Doesn't Work. One more time, do you want to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get to your...
Sure. The book is on Amazon.com, and my website, if you want to find out a little bit more, is at www.freetradedoesn'twork.com. Thanks for having me on your show.
And this is a vitally important subject. Ian will hopefully be with us. I think we have him scheduled for the afternoon program. I think this book is certainly one of the most important books, because it will give those of you in the audience the background and the knowledge to be able to discuss this subject intelligently. And, of course, the truth of the matter is we're talking about a potential 40 million American jobs in manufacturing that certainly can be lost. And so far there have been no new jobs. Thanks very much, Ian. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. And Chris, you really can't understand this whole drive for free trade unless you understand there is a conspiracy. There is a plan. And you can read about it. You can read about it in the Earth Charter. You can read about it in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report put out by Cambridge University Press. And, of course, you can read about it in the Agenda 21 program. Now, we do have here at my ministry the original Agenda 21. It was written here in Santa Cruz before the UN Agenda 21 was laid out. And remember, Agenda 21 is simply the globalist agenda for the 21st century. And you can read about it here. They want to get you out of your car. They want to get you out of your home. They want to lower your living standards. They want you on a bicycle like they have in Beijing, like they used to have in Beijing. In fact, they'll be better off in Beijing than we will here if these people get their way. The Earth Charter calls for the transfer of American jobs and wealth to other countries. Equitable distribution of wealth between nations. They know what they're doing. You can find this, and this is the Agenda 21 in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, and then which contains the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment and of course, the Earth Charter. You need to read these things. You need to understand the message of the secret society that's on the Georgia Guidestones, and all of this is covered in those two items, Agenda 21 Report Santa Cruz and My Sustainable Development Syllabus, information you will not get elsewhere. And, of course, you need then to get my talk that goes with it, Sustainable Development, The Road to World Governments. It's on a DVD, and, of course, there's so much more. We have a four-tape set on sustainable development, and this ties right into population control, their plan to depopulate most of the world. Incidentally, I would comment, I had Avi Lipkin on last night. I wanted to get Avi on. He was formerly a spokesman for the Israeli military, claims he's independent at the present time, but it just happens his wife works for Israeli intelligence and is an interpreter. And, of course, Avi believes that the war with Iran is coming in March. I hope he's wrong. He admits he has no inside information, but he's talking within a month or two why there will be a war with Iran. Hope and pray he is wrong. The interview is on our website, radioliberty.com, 9 o'clock last night. Well worthwhile listening to. My interview with Avi Lipkin is vitally important, and especially if you're concerned about what may happen to Israel. And, of course, we talked about the Nautilus anti-missile defense system, which nobody talks about other than Avi, and he's told me about it in the past. And it is deployed. I mean, that is why, of course, Israel is suddenly even considers, defying the other nations that surround them with the 85,000 missiles in the hands of Hezbollah and probably an equal number in the hands of Syria. How could Israel possibly hope to survive? Why, they have a secret weapon. That's the Nautilus. But well, anyway, that's all in the program. We'll see if we get Avi here, but you need to listen to that. I would simply point out that we have a great new product we hope you'll want to get. If you're over 55, men need it, called Prostate Support. Prostate Support, our number, 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought...